content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
One of the cats hit a button.
What? You know what? Butters is up here, and I'm hearing my reverb.
How's
so
that?
Let me see. There we go.
I was hitting some buttons too, trying everything, but I knew exactly what I hit when you said reverb. So
yeah. So it's live radio, you guys, and there's proof of it, right?
Exactly.
I remember when we first started doing live radio. Had that happened, I probably would have fainted and fallen on the floor because I used to get so nervous when the first couple of weeks were absolutely brutal. I remember DJ being in studio with me and going, calm down, you know. But it's really scary because I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, we need to be live right now. What's going on? And so I don't know. Maybe I lost power last night again without knowing it because I clicked a couple of buttons from this end too.
Yeah.
And then you did. And so now we're here. So
perfect.
Welcome. did you already do the introduction, or were you just trying to get me on the air?
No, I just had the music going. So the good thing about the intro is it's a minute long, so I knew I had some time. So I was just hitting some buttons, letting the music play for a little bit. There was literally 5 seconds left, and you came on. So
well, there you go.
So, I was about to start talking, but you made it.
I love it. Well, let's start over. Let's do that. That's fun when we do it. Want to hear the music again? Start over.
We can. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Here we go. Rewind.
All right. Here we go, guys. I haven't done that in a while. Everyone, welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. My voice is the best, like on a good day, so I can only imagine what I just sounded like. But everyone, welcome to One Life Radio. We have an incredible show for you today. At the half, we've got Drew Manning coming up. He's going to give us an update on his journey of Fit to Fat to Fit again, the Fit to Fat to Fit project update. So you're not going to want to miss that. And we have a new guest with us today. It is David Wellick. He's a friend of Tina Burnett's, and I've never met him before, but I'm so interested in what he does, and I can't wait to talk about it. David, how are you doing today?
Great, Bernadette. Thanks for having me on the show. Super grateful to be here with you.
Yeah, us too. So let me tell everybody about you. So David has been a strength and conditioning fitness instructor in Dallas, Texas for over 20 years. He is the creator of Black Dragon Yoga, a method of training that integrates principles and techniques of yoga and martial arts. His website is blackdragonyoga.com or on Instagram at Black Dragon Yoga or Facebook Black Dragon Yoga. And so I have to ask you this first question. Do you know Guy Mesger?
I do know Guy. Yeah, I know him. I've known him for many years. Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
Oh, great guy. A great guy. And yeah. He's been on the show many, many times. He's a dear friend of One Life Radio. And yeah, so, well, let's hear a little bit about Black Dragon Yoga and how you got started. How did you decide to mix martial arts and yoga together?
Okay, so I got into training myself, lifting weights. My dad got me into it when I was about 12 years old. And then I loved just training my body. Just, I liked what it did for me and for mentally and emotionally, all of those things. And so I just got really kind of hooked into it pretty young. And then as I, went through sports in high school and all that, football. And then that's after I got out of it, I still stayed with the weight training, got very intensely into actually bodybuilding. I never competed, but I really got into strength training and bodybuilding and things like that. And I, at about, 23 or 24, I was very strong, but I felt, getting out of bed in the morning, even at that age, I felt old. And I knew that this is not a sustainable path for me. And I lucked into getting into finding a yoga teacher that was perfect for me. Really hardcore, that pushed me like a football coach or something, and had no interest in keeping me in class. She was just tough on me. And I responded to that, and if she had been too gentle at the time in my life, I probably would have walked away from yoga. I wouldn't have responded as well. But luckily I had the perfect teacher for me, got me into it and got me kind of relieve my addiction to weight training and got into all the other benefits that I received from yoga and just making me a lot more balanced individual and things like that. But it gave me that. I still got to push myself in almost a strength training and conditioning sort of way, but I almost had wiser voices pushing me that direction for something, lifelong for me. But then, after that, after yoga, I'm a Gemini. So I'm drawn to dualistic things. And so I love the yoga, but I also was seeking something else. And I got into martial arts. And again, I found the perfect teacher for that. I still have both of those teachers. So the martial arts instructor I've had for over 20 years now, I still go to the same guy, and my yoga teacher, I've had her 1 year longer than that. And so I still consult her. She's still my mentor. But anyway, you asked the question about how did I just think to integrate those two things. I got so much from the practice of both of those things that years later, practicing both of those things. And I was a personal trainer, became a personal trainer. And I almost had those almost hidden, but I always did strength training with it. That's what I knew with people, but I started slowly integrating yoga with people and then martial arts principles and things like that. And then eventually I thought, I think I need to do something with this, and actually make a real practice called Black Dragon Yoga. Cause I have not seen this before. And I thought I need to make this. And so I have a few DVDs out right now and I teach it, still as part of my personal training program. And then, I've gotten into now after COVID, I've been doing more virtual training and things like that. So that's opened up the doors to a lot of things, but I've got with Black Dragon Yoga, it's spread all over. I have people that have contacted me from different parts of the world. It's so exciting that want to get to, try the practice. And they're asking if there's Black Dragon Yoga instructor in Germany or something like that. So super exciting. I had no idea it would come to this, but anyway, I'm along for the ride.
Well, I think a lot of people are at that. I don't know. I know for me, I love lifting weights. And I have a long history of working out, from the time I was probably about 21, started running, jumping rope, doing triathlons, all that sort of thing. But I do love lifting weights because I like the body composition part of it. But I also need to stretch and be more mobile and all these things. In fact, that's how your name came up, because Tina said, Bernadette, I really think you should train with David Wellick. And so anyway, but I want to bring Junior into the mix here. Junior, have you ever thought about doing yoga?
No, I never have. I don't know if I have the patience for it, to be honest. Like, I'm it's hard for me to sit still and be quiet and I don't know, it's really hard for me to do that. Maybe if I was by myself I could do it, but in a group setting I don't know if I could.
And that's the thing, is I've brought a lot of people from yoga, this very thing. People don't like to do something particularly in front of other people that you're just really bad at and really awkward at and things like that. So but I've got a lot of guys into yoga that that thought they never would get into it, and they get hooked on it. It really depends on, I've learned a lot of different styles, and I feel like I can really work with, meet you where you're at, or meet the person where they're at, and I can give you something. If it needs to be aggressive and it needs to get, yeah, you know, ADD with this stuff. I got to move and move and move. Or if you want to sit those long, slow stretches, maybe you need that because, you know, your day life, something to counter kind of your day-to-day life, mm-hmm. which might be something really, you know, aggressive and things like that. Maybe you need something slow and things like that. But anyway, yeah. I think there's yoga probably for everybody. But I'm very biased.
Yeah, no, I do love yoga. I do. I don't practice it as much as I'd like to. Maybe that's the universe with you being on the show trying to convince me that maybe I need to yeah. incorporate it into my fitness program. But, you know, what is, you know, our topic today is mobility for life. So what's your definition of mobility and how does it differ from flexibility?
Yeah, that's a great question because those two words get used interchangeably by a lot of people. And once I tell you the answer, it's going to be pretty obvious to you what the difference is. You know, flexibility refers to more the lengthening of the muscle tissue, the ability for the muscle to be lengthened and come back into place. And so mobility encompasses not only flexibility, but strength and core and coordination, all those things. So think about really, flexibility referring more to the muscle and mobility referring more to the joints and your ability to control your body in space. And it's more of an umbrella term, you know, as a movement, more about your efficiency of your movement and be able to, an ability to generate strength. And flexibility has not as much to do with that as by itself. You know, it can be very flexible, but not be able to not have strength in those ranges of motion. Mobility refers to being able to control those and what they say, owning those movements versus renting the movement. So if you got stretched by somebody, you're renting that new range of motion, right? If you got a hamstring stretch and someone's pushing your leg into that position and it's a new position that you'd had, you know, I don't know, 30 seconds before that, that's not your new range of motion. That is temporarily. So you're renting that space. But then mobility training is more about getting you there, but then also generating strength and force from that position so that you can own it, so you can have it for the next few days or beyond that, you know?
Well, so like bending over, I'm thinking about, you bend over, you're touching your toes. Is that more about mobility or flexibility?
That'd be more flexibility, and your inability to touch your toes would be a mobility issue.
Okay.
Because what the body is doing is saying, okay, so like you might be able to sit and reach, right? You might be able to sit and reach your toes by when you're seated on the floor. But then when you stand, you can't reach your toes suddenly. Okay, so is that a lack of flexibility in your hamstrings? Well, it's not necessarily a lack of flexibility in your hamstrings because you were able to achieve that range seated. So the body, once you stand, it doesn't feel like it's governing your body from falling over. So it doesn't feel like you own enough core. Or there's other components too, but yeah. To reach the toes without falling necessarily. So it won't give you permission to even go for that. So it's not necessarily, my body's just tight. My hamstrings are just tight. It's much deeper than that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to go for a quick break. I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you. Everyone, stay tuned.
Great.
We're talking with David Wellick. He has been in the strength and conditioning fitness instructor for over 20 years in Dallas, and he's also the creator of Black Dragon Yoga, a method of training that integrates principles and techniques of yoga and martial arts. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
Welcome Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have David Wellick continuing on with us. He has been a strength and conditioning fitness instructor in Dallas, Texas for over 20 years, and he is the creator of Black Dragon Yoga, a method of training that integrates principles and techniques of yoga and martial arts. You can find him at his website, blackdragonyoga.com, or Instagram and Facebook at Black Dragon Yoga. Okay, so mobility for life is what we're talking about. So David, let me ask you this. Are there some indicators or tests that we can do to test our mobility?
You know, there are. And maybe the best one that I've found is it was created by a physical therapist named Gray Cook, and it's called the Functional Movement Screen. And it is a test that actually is they use this in the NFL Combine. It's a great predictor of injury. That's what they use it for. What it tests is seven different body movement patterns, and they want you to practice it just almost right out of bed. Like you don't, it's not something that you warm up for, or you foam roll beforehand or anything like that, but you do seven different tests. And one of them, for instance, is like a deep squat, holding a dowel overhead and how deep you can get on that. And you get graded on these seven different, movement patterns. And in that, what they're looking for, usually they're actually looking for you to fail is not the right word, but they want to see something. You know, a tester is looking for something, which is mostly they want to look for an asymmetry in a movement pattern. So maybe like, you know, your right hip fires a little bit before the left, or something that just really distinguishes itself in this series of movements. And something always shows up. the perfect score is almost never ever happens. Even in the NFL, I think they've never had a perfect score. And you don't even want to get a perfect score, because you want an entry point into, this is something that we found an injury. Actually, we found some pain generated from this movement. So that's something we want to address first. Mm-hmm. And so there's a series of correctives that you would do for that, and just to get the body moving better. And then you would retest, you know, maybe 6 weeks later or something like that. But you notice as you're working in maybe just that one specific asymmetry, that it unlocks kind of upstream and downstream through the rest of the body. You just moving better, which is the overall, you know, the aim always.
Yeah,
just moving better.
Well, you said
more often.
I love having you on the show. It's such a refreshing subject. It really is, and you're quite well versed on it. Very articulate. Okay, so Greg Cook, where can we find him? We just Google Greg Cook. Does he have a website?
Yes, Gray Cook, G-R-A-Y, and the only reason why I'm not mentioning whoever he's done this with is I can't remember. But Gray has been the best at he has created functional movement systems, so functionalmovementsystems.com, and then you could find an instructor in your area that you could go and get tested from them, and you get corrected. So whoever they've gotten certified will be able to lead you the right way and watch you move and be able to test you and give you a grade and then, you know, email you all the correctives or something like that. Or you can continue to work with that instructor, which is what I do. I'm a level two instructor. Instructor for FMS. And so I am qualified to give you that test and then give you corrective specifically for that. And I've done that with people. People have just found me through that website, that directory, and I just send them on their way. You know, I stay in touch with them to see if they're moving better, but that's certainly a way that I can help people. But it's you know, the words are, if you're not assessing, you're guessing.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So if you don't do some sort of assessment on somebody, even a really, really good personal trainer, strength and conditioning coach, if they take you right in and they just immediately get you moving, yes, they are assessing. They're assessing on the fly. They're seeing how you're doing lunges and things like that. But really, it's best to get a true full body assessment, how well your neck moves, how well, you know, all your coordination works. But the FMS, it was not thrown together. It's been gone through a lot of different, iterations, and now they've gotten it down to where even the order that you do them is calculated. So I'm very impressed with their system, Functional Movement Screens.
Well, you talked about
movement systems. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you talked about squats and lunges, and, you know, I immediately thought of myself doing a squat and a lunge, and the one thing that, and Tina reminds me of this all the time, I'm well-trained now, but so many people don't have their heels dug in, you know, and that can that can cause an injury or throw your body out of alignment or mess up your knees if you do it repeatedly the wrong way. There's so many important things that you need to remember to keep your body properly aligned, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And you know what? I think the most often missed thing is breath work
and
how efficiently you breathe. Most people don't.
Oh, yeah.
Most people. I mean, we're talking like 99% of people have breathing dysfunction.
Yep.
And they're not breathing through their nose. It's mouth breathing. And if you can get that, in fact, if you did that, let's just say you did an FMS test and then I had you go through, 2 minutes of breathing prep, diaphragmatic breathing, and then we retested you. More often than not, you're going to test better on at least one of those things, which I find so interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, just that can affect that much. And of course it does. You're breathing, right?
Oh, yeah. So, no. I can tell that Tina's been working a lot with you because she's, you know, incorporated it in my training as well. But I love that you brought that up because I would guess it was a couple of weeks ago. I was doing some sort of, exercise and she said, do your breathing this way and it'll help. And it made me more powerful, David. I cannot believe the difference when I reworked my breath. You know, it gave me incredible strength. Yeah. So why should I No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
well, I just, you know, the thing is where we get lost is that we initiate, like, okay, so your trainer tells you to do some lunges and you just go right to the lunge. You go right to that. You don't even think about what's my breathing strategy in this, because there should be some sort of, now, eventually when you practice it all the time, it becomes second nature. But really, if we just let our bodies just move and then catch up on breathing when we're out of breath, then we become aware of the breath, and that's kind of backwards. So if you got a good breathing strategy beforehand, and I know it takes a little bit more time before an exercise, but it pays off because you're so much more in control and so much aware of your body and all the little nuances that are happening. Instead, what we wait till is we start huffing and puffing and we say, I got to get a hold of, or I was holding my breath, or I'm way too much just mouth breathing, and so I'm way out of breath way before, like I'm tired way before I really need to be, just because my breath's off.
Right.
And that can be due to all kinds of other outside factors, you know, how you are, emotionally that day, or that's majorly affected there. But the breathing, it serves as so many different, almost a meditative practice, you know, you get into that, and then you integrate that into your workouts, and man, you will see a performance difference right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is about concentration and breath. I love that we're talking about this. I do. It's just so refreshing and fun, you know, because exercise, if you're going to exercise, if you're going to do anything, you want to do it really well so you get the most out of it, you know. And I've been, like I said, Tina's been incorporating some of your principles in our training, and it really has made a fundamental difference. So let me ask you this. Why should everyone be making mobility a higher priority right now?
Okay. Well, I would say if you're listening to the show, then you're maybe not a child and you don't, and so you maybe have neglected the mobility. So mobility as a kid, you don't have to prioritize that because you're just a kid and you're running around. I have three young daughters and I've never seen them have to foam roll before they get onto monkey bars beforehand, you know, they're ready to go at all times. Right. And that's a human thing. That's not a child thing. What happens is we sit too much, and the mobility becomes not a priority for us until it becomes, we start getting nervous looking at a set of stairs that doesn't have a railing, you know?
Yeah.
And so mobility, I see it, you know, I mean, I've been doing this so long now and I see patterns and I see that, and I just see, man, I'm on a mission. You know, I want to educate people on mobility over anything. I mean, I was such a strength guy, and mobility is strength. Okay. So even if you're doing endurance, you're doing strength training too. So if you're doing yoga, you're doing strength training, you know, it's strengthening something. So mobility though, I just think certainly as we age, that's even more important than, you know, how well you move versus just saying like, I'm tight, I need to stretch.
Right. Right.
You know, the mobility just pays off so much more dividends.
It does. I can't wait to have you back on the show. We're getting close on time here.
But oh, okay.
I have to remark about the monkey bars. I love the monkey bars. That was my favorite thing to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I could be on the monkey bars for hours hanging out with a girlfriend and just, you know, hanging upside down and all that. So, Junior, I'm going to pull you in here. Did you ever play on the monkey bars and did you love it?
No, I was the junkie kid. I couldn't get up there. I could never hold myself on the monkey bars. So, nope.
Oh my gosh. Well, it makes me want to.
I get it.
Makes me want to go play on the monkey bars. Oh my gosh.
It is fun. And I have in my little studio, I have pull up bars in there and people in their climbing bars. And I have something called a Swiss bars up against the wall. So they're just like, my kids run in there and it's like climbing ladders and they love hanging off these bars. And so, and they, you know, I start getting some adults into it, you know, they're wary at first and they get up there and they just hang. It's like, man, I love this. This feels great. You know, yeah. So you're never too old.
No, you're not. What a great party, right? You build a, I might build That's some right. monkey bars. Start having monkey bars party.
Monkey bar parties.
Monkey bar parties. Yeah, you know, a little enhanced.
I like
just
the bar part.
Oh, my God. What fun. David, great to have you on the show. Can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Gosh, thanks so much. It was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, all right. Take care. Thank you. All right. We've got Drew Manning coming up. Everyone, stay tuned. We're going to be getting an update on Fit to Fat to Fit. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Drew Manning with us. I'm so excited. He is a leader in the keto diet movement and the New York Times bestselling author of Fit to Fat to Fit, The Unexpected Lessons from Gaining and Losing 75 Pounds on Purpose. He is the creator of the A&E show Fit to Fat to Fit and the host of the Fit to Fat to Fit Experience podcast. With over 1 million social media followers, Drew continues to transform people's lives all around the world. He has been featured on the Dr. Oz Show, CNN, Good Morning America, The Tonight Show, The View, MSNBC, and many more. He lives in Salt Lake City, Utah with his daughters who remind him every day not to take things too seriously. His website is fittofattofit.com and the Fit is a number two, fat with a number two, fit.com. Drew Manning, always a pleasure. How are you doing today?
Bernadette, it's always good to be on with you. Thank you so much for having me on again. I am actually doing okay. I'm really sore, though, and I'm sure we'll talk about why I'm so sore, but it feels good to be sore.
Yeah, well, so why are you so sore? I'm guessing you've been doing a lot of lifting, right?
Well, yeah, so I took 4 months off of working out, as we've talked about before, where I gained 62 pounds of pure fat for 4 months, and I didn't exercise once. And now here I am about a little over a month in to the journey back to fit. And so my body is adapting to this new environment of lifting weights and doing body weight exercises. So yes, I'm going through a sore phase, but that's the part of the process to rebuild some strength, rebuild some lean mass, you know, increase the metabolic rate and burn some fat. So that's kind of, that's why I'm sore.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's very daring what you're doing. And we talked last at the end of December, you were preparing to start your second venture of Fit to Fat to Fit, the project. And so will you tell our listeners what exactly the Fit to Fat to Fit project is?
Yeah. So this actually started back in 2011. Where I was a personal trainer and I'd never been overweight a day in my life, I decided to do a little experiment to better understand my clients and what they go through. So for 6 months, I stopped exercising. I put on 75 pounds. I ate a standard American diet, so lots of processed foods. And it was one of the hardest
most humbling things I've ever been through. And that's why I wrote my book, Fit to Fight the Fit, which became a New York Times bestseller, because I learned so many valuable lessons on the mental and emotional side. And I gained so much empathy for those that struggle with body image issues and weight loss. And so that's where it first started. Fast forward to 2020, I did this again, but as a 40-year-old, to, you know, show people in that age group that it's still possible. Yeah, it might be a little bit harder, but it's still possible. And so this time around, for 4 months, I put on 62 pounds, documented the whole thing, you know, did it a second time, which is crazy. And here we are today, a month into the journey back to fit, but it's been such a humbling learning experience.
Again, it's been a humbling experience. And have you learned, you know, here's a good question. Have you learned something the second time that maybe you missed the first time? Has anybody asked you that?
Yes, 100%. Yes, and that's a very good question. Here's the biggest difference that I learned, especially on the journey of gaining weight. So the first time around, you know, I was eating the food to gain the weight. And then that's how this journey started as well. I was eating the food to gain the weight. And yeah, I enjoyed it to a certain extent. This time around, I know we talked about this last time, I went through an emotional breakup during this journey, which was really hard emotionally. And the emotional eating thing really, was amplified this time around. And so now I wasn't just eating to gain weight. I was eating to numb my emotions or distract myself from the pain I was feeling. And so that Ben & Jerry's ice cream, that little dopamine hit, it's so powerful. And I'm not condoning the behavior, but I understand so much better now why people gravitate towards food or sometimes alcohol, whatever substance we choose. It's a powerful thing to do to get that little dopamine hit. And then we train our brain to always look for that when we experience some type of uncomfortable emotional situation.
Oh yeah,
so that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned.
Well, and I think, and thank you for answering it so candidly. That's the thing I think that has been so powerful about this journey of yours is that you've shared everything. And that's important because people that, like you said, you were fit your whole life until you did this, they don't have an understanding of what it's like for someone who really is struggling to lose weight and how difficult that is, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And this is why I want to bring more awareness to the fitness industry and really disrupt the fitness industry of the importance of a better understanding on the mental and emotional side. And it's not just as simple as eating less and working out, which people have heard over and over and over again. Yes, that's a part of the process. But the reason people struggle to do that is because it becomes such an emotional journey for people. And to break these cycles that we've trained our brains for decades now to all of a sudden say, okay, no more sugar, no more alcohol. Now, you know, try and be strict. It doesn't work because emotions still come up, and it's so easy to say, you know, if you've never been overweight, like just stop eating the junk food, you guys. It's not that hard because you don't understand it. And so I'm trying to bring more awareness to that, to the fitness industry, and tell people how important that part is. And so that's my mission.
Yeah. It's so great what you've done. It really is. Junior, do you have any questions for Drew or any thoughts that you want to share?
Well, I mean, for me, I've always gone up and down with my weight. And maybe it's sometimes it's just, you know, work increases, you know, I don't have the time. And I'm at the point right now where I've gone up. And it's really hard for me with my life, like how things are, to just find time to get started. You know, it's like I can always find something else that I could get done or I could be doing. You know what I mean? So are there any tips for somebody that like just to even get started? I mean,
jump start.
Yeah. That's a really, really good question. And that's the thing is, I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying because they do it for a period of time until it becomes inconvenient or other priorities take over, right? Life happens and then they have to start over. So starting is always the hardest part for people. And so, my recommendation obviously is to not quit. You don't have to start over, but and learn to take a break. But let's say you are just starting over. I like to keep it super simple. I'm going to give you three tips that will help you train your brain to make it easier, because that's the hardest part is people just jump in and try and willpower their way through it. So one of those tips is to make your bed every single day. And what does that do? It teaches your brain mental discipline, like staying disciplined in one small thing per day. And if you can be perfect in making your bed every morning, that can carry over into maybe being perfect with drinking your water or eating your vegetables. The second thing is taking a cold shower. Now, what does that have to do with getting a six pack or losing weight? It's training your brain to become comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And so if you can sit there for 60 seconds and breathe through an uncomfortable cold shower, then your brain starts to realize, hey, I can actually do this And now I can do hard things that are uncomfortable, like meal prepping or eating vegetables or working out, which is a very uncomfortable situation to be in because it's hard. It's hard work. And so now it's just these little tiny tips, tricks, and hacks to train your brain to become comfortable in uncomfortable situations. The third thing is a gratitude list. And the gratitude list, you know, doesn't help you get a six pack by any means, but it trains your brain to look for things to be grateful for throughout the day so that, you know, whether you get the six pack or not, whether you lose the weight or not, you're still fulfilled and happy with where you are now on your journey. It's not about getting the results and then I'll be happy. It's about learning to be happy now. And then the results become a byproduct of living that lifestyle over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I do like that. I like the starting out the day with one simple task. I heard somebody, a military, I think general, said that one time. Is that that's why they do that in the military, because it gets you up and doing, you know, one accomplishment, your first accomplishment for the day. So
yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So, Junior, do you make your bed or does your wife make it?
Well, right now, I get up way before her. I'm getting up at like 4:30, and she doesn't have to get up till like after 6. So
so she makes the bed.
Yeah, right now it's not really getting made. It's one of those things. I mean, life is just so busy. We just don't.
I get it.
I'm gonna start with that though. I will start with
Tell her to get out of bed so you can make the bed.
I'll wait
till
she wakes up and then I'll.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to go for a quick break, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Drew Manning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California. On ABC News Talk, we have Drew Manning continuing on with us. He is a leader in the keto diet movement and the New York Times bestselling author of Fit to Fat to Fit, The Unexpected Lessons from Gaining and Losing 75 Pounds on Purpose. He is the creator of the A&E show Fit to Fat to Fit and the host of the Fit to Fat to Fit Experience podcast. With over a million social media followers, Drew continues to transform people's lives all around the world. He lives in Salt Lake City, Utah, with his two daughters who remind him every day not to take things too seriously. His website is fittofattofit.com. Okay, Drew, we've got a couple of minutes here. Let me ask you this. Okay, so, you know, you're back on track to lose over 60 pounds. Which do you find more difficult getting back into, the diet aspect or the exercise? Which is the easiest for you?
for me personally, it's got to be the exercise, because
I've been doing that for
years and years and years. Yeah. And then going from 4 months of eating these processed foods, which we all know are bad for us, but I'll be honest with you, like, your body, you know, it creates this dependency because, like I said, you get these little dopamine hits, you get these little blood sugar spikes, and then these crashes. And then it kind of trains you, it creates this vicious cycle to go back towards that. It's almost like a drug in a sense. So the diet part is hard because, you know, sometimes when I'm sad or lonely or emotional, like chicken and broccoli just don't do it. It doesn't really make you happy, like, say, pizza, wine, you know, whatever it is for the person. So that's the difficult part. But, you know, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. And the cool thing that makes me accountable is knowing that there's tens of thousands of people from all over the world doing this journey with me, which helps me push through those hard times.
Oh, yeah. It's been so cool to watch, you know, on social media. In fact, you actually have an app, right? The Back to Fit app that's designed so anyone can follow along with you, correct?
Yeah, I just wanted to give people access to exactly what I'm doing every single day. So if they want to do the journey with me, they get access to the app, they get my meal plans, my workouts, my recipes, my grocery list, all of the details of what I do every single day so that they can join me on that journey. And then it creates this huge community. And it's just, there's power in numbers. When you do this type of journey with other people, it helps to keep you accountable, helps to keep you motivated, inspired. So yeah, that's one of the cool things about this journey.
Yeah. And it helps to keep you humble, doesn't it? Right.
Yeah,
to be able to relate to so many people. Because, I mean, you know, you're a good-looking guy, and you got a killer body, you know. And you got a lot of girls that are, like, Googling over you, right? Or drooling over you, I should say. But but you got it, you know. That's not what fitness is all about, really, at the end of the day. Yeah. It's about having your health, both, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, right?
Yeah, it's so true. Like, yeah, cool. It's cool to have a six-pack and that's part of it. But for me, honestly, the thing I miss the most is the feeling of being healthy. And this is what I'm starting to finally experience, is me sleeping through the night. My hormones are finally, you know, getting more and more balanced. I have more energy throughout the day. My brain fog is gone. My digestion is way better than what it was when I was eating that junk food, which can lead to better sex, better relationships, you know, better quality of life. And that's why a physical health carries over into the mental, emotional, spiritual, because you're not suffering with fatigue and brain fog and digestive issues and other pains and ailments that come from not taking care of your physical health.
Yeah, well, you just answered my next question, which was going to be, it's been about a month since you started your journey, and what changes have you noticed so far, both mentally and physically? Anything that you left out that you maybe want to focus on for our listeners?
So I lost 22 pounds so far in the first month doing keto, strict keto. I did more of a Mediterranean-style keto this time around, so less saturated fat for me personally. My body seems to do better with that, and more poly and monounsaturated fats. If you ask my daughters, they would tell you that I'm a lot nicer, a lot more patient. So that kind of comes with the territory of taking care of your physical health and sleeping through the night. Like, just sleep alone, take everything else out of it. Like, if you could sleep through the night, man, that's such a game changer for your overall physical and mental and emotional well-being that some people just don't realize, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it that I left out.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, I actually was reading something, and I'm trying to remember where right now. I don't want to misquote, but it was an article about the ketogenic diet. They're showing evidence that it can even heal psychosis, you know, in individuals, which is amazing when you think about it, too, because, I mean, not sleeping week after week, month after month, not sleeping well can make you maybe not have a psychosis, but can certainly make you crazy and affect your overall wellness and well-being and happiness for sure. I mean, you know that firsthand.
Well, yeah, that's what I experienced during the 4 months of letting myself go, was a little bit of that, where I did feel a little bit crazy and a little bit, even though I was aware of what was happening, it's still interesting to have that part kind of take over, where I am sleep deprived. And any parents out there that have little kids, you know what it's like to be sleep deprived. You're not the same version of you when you're not sleeping, you know, through the night. And so I experienced that for 4 months, and it feels so good to track my recovery score, my HRV, and see that, you know, go up week after week after week. You know, it's not where it was yet, but it's moving up in that direction. And man, you just have so much more energy throughout the day. You're just a more lively, you know, positive person when just sleep alone is taken care of. And it, it stems, it's connected to our diet.
Well, it is. I'm not as fit as I'd like to be right now. I had an injury, so I'm trying to work back from it. But, you know, people would always say, Bernadette, where do you get all your energy from? And it's like, I exercise and I eat right. And it really does make a huge difference. But many people tend to fall off the wagon for a lot of different reasons. And we only have about a minute and a half left. But, how do we get people to stay motivated and stay on track to hit their goal when they might be wavering? What do you want to say to them, Drew?
Yeah, I think a lot of it stems from, what is their why? Like, why are you doing this? I think a lot of people go into it thinking, oh, I want to get healthy and fit. I want to lose this much weight. But the why needs to be bigger than that. It's like, why do you want to be healthy? And so you really need to dig deep and figure that out. Is it so you want to be around for your kids? You want better quality of life? You want to get off your medications? Like what is it that will keep you motivated on those days where you're sore, you're tired, you're hungry, you want to take that break, you want to sleep in, you don't want to do it anymore? Having a really big why is probably one of the most important things that keeps you motivated. Even if you are tired, even if you are sore, even if things do get hard, having that why is probably one of the most important things. And then also I will say having an accountability partner, like a coach, a sibling, a spouse, someone to keep you accountable to help you stay on track rather than trying to willpower your way by yourself. So being a part of a support team or a community, and that's why people that have access to my app, they are part of a private Facebook group where there's a community where people can talk to each other and motivate each other. Those kinds of things are really important to keep people motivated.
Drew Manning, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being so candid. I really like that about you. You're welcome. And you've shared so much with your followers, with our listeners. And I just want to let everyone know that they can follow you at fittofattofit.com. And I'm thinking about taking a cold shower every morning. Junior, how about you?
I'll try it. I'll see if I can deal with it.
I'm going to try tomorrow and I'll report back. I'll let you guys know how that goes.
All right.
Drew Manning, thank you so much. Everyone, thank you for listening. What a great show. Everyone, you know, do your best every day to just, you know, try to get out there and, you know, just be healthier, because you only get one body, one mind, and one life. Be happy.